Welcome to the CBS and Days edition of Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we discuss the return of Leslie K to As the World Turns while doing double duty on The Bold and the Beautiful. Sierra's kidnapped on Days of Our Lives, Natalia returns to Springfield, and is Victoria Rowell returning to The Young and the Restless? All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Welcome, Mel.
Hey.
Jamie, welcome.
Hello.
Jillian, welcome.
Hi.
Victoria Rowell, Jamie, the Twitterverse and the blogosphere got all up in arms this last week because of the possibility that Victoria Rowell might be returning to Young and the Restless. Tell us the latest.
Well, Mr. Brooks, Genoa City, I think is the name of the blog, blogged a story about that he heard that Victoria was in talks with Y&R, and I guess a lot of people kind of took it with a grain of salt until she retweeted, or not retweeted, Jillian has schooled me on this technical terminology. She linked it, I guess?
Yeah, she linked it. She didn't retweet it.
Okay. Yeah, I got to excuse me. I'm learning all these tweets and tweets and tweets. Anyway, so yeah, she linked the story, and so that kind of gave it a little legs, you know. And, you know, I emailed Vicky, and I asked her, you know, point blank, what's the deal? And she said, you know, kind of cryptically, that all she could say is a lot was going on. And, you know, since that time, Nelson Branco ran an interview with her with TV Guy Canada where she said she couldn't comment. But, you know, she's really gotten you know, active on Twitter, as we've seen a lot of stars do. And, you know, she's been having conversations with her fans. And this next week she'll be on Buzzworthy Radio. Maybe she'll give a little more there. But, you know, from my take, Y&R needs to do it 100%.
Send a chopper for Drew.
You know, they need to do it. They need, you know, Nikki Newman needs to stumble on Drew.
Yeah.
You know,
well, maybe that's where Nikki is. Maybe Nikki and
Drew
are both in some sort of like sanitarium with
Sheila Carter. No, I don't know. They just really need to bring this woman back to this show.
Bring Latifah back. Bring
Latifah. I know there's bad blood there, but, you know, and, you know, it's just, who cares? I mean, I don't like everybody I go to work with. I don't like none of y'all. It's like, you make it do what it do. It's like,
I know, like I told you, if Jamie and I were speaking offline about this, and I'm like, look, Maria, and she need to take her sidekick. No, he ain't even a sidekick. She need to take Paul Rauch in there, and he need to say, look, y'all need to suck it up. This motherfucker is dying. Y'all need to get it together and check your egos at the door. He needs to say it to everybody involved who has a problem with her coming back and who she has beef, if she has beef with anybody, you know?
And the beef, this is my thing. It's like, I can count on my hands. Basically, it was almost like I used to hate reading the soap magazines because I would learn, or the gossip magazines, really. The soap magazines didn't reveal this. But I can count my top 20 favorite couples and 19 of them hated each other's guts in real life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Nancy Lee Grand and Lane Davies couldn't stand each other for a time on Santa Barbara. Mason and Julia will go down as one of the best couples ever. Bo and Hope, Peter Reckel and Christian Alfonso, my all-time favorite soap super couple, hated each other's guts. There was bad blood between Tony Geary and Jeannie Francis at varying times during their working relationship. I think they came out on the end of it respecting each other. But, you know, One Life to Live, allegedly Hillary B. Smith and Robert
S. Woods.
Woods don't see eye to eye. But you know what? Frank is like, y'all going to do what it do because the fans love Bo and Nora, and we're putting y'all back in each other's orbit.
Well, it was alleged that she and Catherine Hickler didn't get along in the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, it it is. It doesn't matter. This woman is very popular. I don't think that this show has ever really realized how popular Drusilla is. And, you know, they need to bring her back. I've said this before. Maria got major props from all of us and a lot of the critics for masterfully rebuilding this show and the families and refocusing it on the core essential characters, the Abbotts, the Newmans, the Chancellors. But we didn't see that at all with
the Winters.
The Winters. Mm-hmm. We saw an America's Top Model thrown in there with Mia Peebles from Flashdance or whatever.
And Sally Sing-Along.
And that was just like, it was like scraps. I'm sorry, I don't care. People can roll their eyes like, oh, here we go, the race thing again. But I'm sorry, your black characters were wildly popular. Wildly popular. And that's what we got, you know, that's what the fans got. Because there's a lot of white people love Drew and the Winters. I'm sorry, we got the scraps. That storyline got the scraps. I don't care what they say, we got the scraps. And they need to address that and fix it. You know, the cancer storyline is good right now. I'm enjoying it. It's got the family cohesive together. But you basically have these two black men just existing for Lily. And, like, you know, they need love interest. They need love. You know, everybody else has a love interest. Neil needs a vibe. And I know Tyra just left. Yeah, Nina would work. I want them to get a sister, though. I'm going to be honest. I do. You know, and Christoph said it himself. And it's like, I don't know, in real life, and I hate when people do this. Like, well, what do you think in real life? My mother was married to a white man for 7 years, and he's like a father to me. I have no issue with interracial dating. But on soap operas where there are only four black characters, yeah, it would be nice if some of them mated with each other sometimes. You know, or at least diversify it. I do not have any problem with it. I loved Lily and Daniel. Let me say,
the first time they were so good.
We just got a blip. You know, got a blip of their history when she was like, oh, Daniel sent me an organic fruit basket.
Yeah, I loved that. And if I was writing, I would be having Daniel right there, like, by her side right now. But the show is so, every storyline is just so islanded. But it's like, I'm sorry. I'm not happy with the fact that all of her love interests have been white men. And I don't care if that's politically incorrect or not. She could have dated a brother somewhere in between there. I'm sorry. She could have. And I've not been happy. It's been like very bittersweet. Yeah, it's been very bittersweet trying to love YNR, and you know, and here lately there's a lot of other stuff wrong with it, not just the black storyline or the dreaded black the winter storyline. You know, there's been a lot more getting wrong with YNR lately, so it's just, but they could, you know, I'm sorry, they could really fix that in one fell swoop by bringing back Victoria.
Mel?
I completely agree with Jamie. I feel like we need Drew right now. We need her strong presence in the show, because right now a lot of the women are really weak, you know.
Oh,
and Drew
Lord
was never really like that. So we need her for that. We also need her to revitalize the black storyline, because I don't even want to go there about what's wrong with it. We've said it many, many times on this podcast. Y'all already know. But for her to come in, she come in there and she would turn everybody out. She'd be like, Lily Winters, why are you still with this man? He didn't lie to you and all this mess.
She would
go upside her head. It wouldn't matter if she had cancer. She'd be like, look, you my baby, and I love you, and I want you to beat this, but you're acting like a fool right now.
I mean, look at the drama she gave Daniel just for, like,
porn,
being a little bit shady. I mean, she would have chewed Kane up and spat him out. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm loving Kane and Lily. That's the one.
That's the thing. They were
great
this week.
That's the thing that came from this awful return of Philip Chancellor, is that it made me a fan of Kane and Lily. Because before, I just saw them as a rebound couple that I just didn't get all this saccharine sweetness. But, like, now, you know, they have genuine obstacles. I could have done without the cancer, I'm going to be honest.
Issues. We're social. We're relegated again to being a social issue. And I'm tired of that mess.
Cancer isn't a social issue. That's a medical issue.
I would say a social issue, but we're always some sort of issue. You know what I'm saying? Like, or a social issue. Like,
I mean, they could have just had him, like, crawl through broken glass for 3 or 4 months to win her back. I didn't need this quick, you know, get back together because of the cancer, you know? I mean, it adds to how dark and depressing this show is. We've got
YNR needs a rating boost right now. Not to cut you off, but YNR needs a rating boost right now. And that is, even though they rebounded, but they need They need.
Well, they need the show needs to be fun again. It needs to be fun. There needs to be some heart and humor. There's too much. Yeah, there needs to be romance, corporate intrigue, you know, good old fashioned soapy bitchery, which we did have that this week with Colleen and Victoria. But there's no humor or heart in this show. It's too much to have a sociopath running around, Sharon going to the nut house for being a kleptomaniac, Ashley being batshit crazy, Nikki being, I guess, somewhere.
You don't know where she is. It's been 2 weeks, and we haven't seen Nikki lying on the pavement or anything yet? Like, what the hell is that?
It's too much. Kevin being and I'm going to be honest, Daniel being framed for murder, and they're just keeping this in the little Scooby gang. The boys' step grandfather is the most powerful man in the universe.
Thank you. All he needs to do is say one word to Victor. Victor can make those charges disappear.
You know, Phyllis is over here worrying about Sharon's coming in between my marriage again. Your son is going to prison. It's like these shows or these storylines are all being islanded. All of these storylines are all on their own little island. There's no integration anymore. It's like it's a runaway train, and you know, it's headed for a cliff. I mean, it's a runaway train headed for a cliff. You know, there needs to be an emergency 24, you know, a weekend, throw out this shit and revamp this show, because it's really heading for a brick wall. You know,
I know times are tough. Yeah, I know times are tough, and some people say, well, they can't really redo stuff because, you know, times are
Gloria Monty, when Gloria Monty came to GH, that's the first thing she did is, like, had them throw out all the shit that was already written and start over. That's what they need to do. If they're continuing on with some of this stuff, it's like, I sat there this week, I actually got a headache trying to figure out what Deacon's masterful plot was, you know, with this terrible, you know, and I talked about this a little bit in Performer of the Week. I'll reiterate it here. You mean to tell me Greaser Terrible Tom is also a master art thief who
thought that was Janna. Janna and her family.
See,
like,
I was more disturbed. I was more disturbed by Deacon and Victoria starting to make out.
I wasn't disturbed by that. That was hot. I mean,
why does she? I mean, she just lays there like a cold fish,
in her defense.
In her defense, she's pregnant,
her husband.
Right, and in real life, Amelia's pregnant, so she can't really get pregnant.
Yeah, and plus that's like, I mean, she's not all into it. I mean, she's numb. She's hurt and brokenhearted. So, you know, she's just letting Deacon have his way with her. But Deacon is one of the best things about this show.
Oh, most
right
definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Without question.
Oh, yeah. Him and
Deacon have like, his way with me.
He is just jolt of...
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I apologize.
He is just like a jolt of sexual energy into every scene he's in. Although, you know, these fans have called it.
I want sexual healing. Yes. I have
to bring up the name Hogan Sheffer here because these fans are right. You know, I'm not tripping on the whole rape issue because I don't consider what happened rape. But I do definitely believe, and I saw the signs of why I think this is definitely the exact same story. And I defended Hogan on this a while back because I know that, like I said, Agnes Nixon used the Erica Kane template on different shows, but she used the template. Rachel did not. Rachel and Erica were not the same character for a long, she put fresh spins on it. When I looked at this show this week, it hit me. Daniel Romolotti is Lucas Roberts a couple of years back. And this girl, you know, Amber, is Sammy, crying and crying and crying and crying to make him see that what she did was for him. It's like we saw this before, Hogan, and it didn't work on Days. It's not working here. You've got this great, sexy trio that could be in an awesome triangle. You're ruining it with this. There's no reason that Amber should have had to be blackmailed into fucking Deacon Sharp. I mean,
Daniel, all she had to do was make one phone call to Catherine and say, Catherine, my friends are in trouble.
Or he could have just showed back up. You know, I mean, he could have just, he came back in town to get, but you know, I'd rather it be organic, that she just be torn that she wants Deacon. And it's like, It's just so plot driven, and I just don't buy this. I don't. If Deacon said this was about little D needing a mother, I would get it. But I just don't believe now that this is all. He had other loves after Amber. He really loved Bridget. Loved Brooke. He loved Macy. He loved Jack and Maroney. I mean, I just, and yeah, Amber was the one that got away, but I just don't think Deacon, and yeah, obviously now it's not just about Amber. It's about this $50 million painting, you know.
Tenderoni.
Okay, Deacon gave back Little D's shares in Forrester. So why, if he's that money hungry, would he have given back? He gave back the shares when Brooke divvied up her stock. And yeah, I know I make writers roll their eyes or get headaches, I'm sure, because I do pay attention. I'm sorry. You can't pull a fast one on me. You know,
that's
now
why you
he's
have a
all,
research department.
Yeah, I mean, he's all money obsessed. If he was that obsessed about money and stuff, why did he give the Foresters back those shares that Little D got when Brooke decided to give up? You know, she gave 2% she gave a percentage to that little boy and to another little kid, you know, which was stupid because that was just the way that they finally got Brooke to not have 51% anymore. So, and then Stephanie managed to get Deacon to give those shares back to the Forester so that Brooke could be booted out of control in Forester. So it's like now he's all obsessed about, I mean... And yeah, I'm sorry. Soap fans, the ones of us that are still watching are like me. We know everything. We pay attention to everything except for Luke. And characters are supposed to have motivation. Deacon's motivation was, you know, just being really just loving women. I mean, it was never this, you know, $50 million thing.
Yeah, that and because of Amber's, but Dusty, I'm sorry, that is just all shades of wrong.
Jillian, she got that good. She do Kegel exercise.
Jillian, someone for murder? No, so sorry.
I want to ask you about motivation on Bold and the Beautiful. What'd you think of the motivation behind the mud fight?
A man wrote that shit. I just sat there when that whole thing played out. I mean, it was fun to watch. It's fun to watch. I'm not going to lie. But you can tell a man sat down there and wrote that whole plot out. I'm mad. I'm sorry. But I'm pissed off at that because I'm like, wait a minute. These smart, intelligent women have to go with Crackerjack James. Because I'm sure he got his medical degree from a Crackerjack box. They need to go to Big Bear so they can find out what their animosity is. Their animosity is because of Ridge. Ridge keeps ping-ponging between the two of them. He needs to go up to Big Bear and figure out who the hell he wants. That made me so mad. I wanted one of them. One of them or even both to say, you know what, I'm not going up here to figure out why we have this animosity. It's you. It's your ass, Ridge. I wanted one of them to say, I'm not taking part in this. And if you want to go back to Ridge, so be it. And just tell Ridge to kick rocks and keep it moving. I mean, it was funny to watch play out, but the whole scenario on why they were up there was all shades of ridiculousness. And Ridge pretty much emotionally blackmailing them. Oh, Doc, Logan, if you love me, you do this. I wanted Taylor, of all people, who has the MD behind her name, to say, you know what? I have a life outside of you, Booby, and I'm not about to put it on hold so I can figure out why I hate Brooke. I hate Brooke because of your ass. And to keep it moving, it sucked. I hated it. And
see, when I was watching it, all I could think of is this is the B&B version of the Coors Girls.
Oh, God. I didn't think that. It's not like they had them in string bikinis wallowing around in the mud. I mean, I didn't think it was all that gratuitous.
I thought it was great. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, you got
I thought it was okay. What I thought was lazy, I mean, I thought it was a good storyline. And yeah, I totally agree with Jillian. But that's no different than any of these soaps. Ashley and Nikki should both go, why are we still fighting over Grandpa Newman?
I agree.
Really no different. But I guess that it was annoying. I hoped that they would end up pulling a Kelly and Brenda from 90210 and both of them go, you know what? We both have decided we don't want you.
Exactly.
You know, because, but, you know, and the B&B is the king in court. I mean, they are the king of lazy writing when they do address history. It's like when Brooke is like, I think my first time I had a problem with you is the first time you married. No, it wasn't. It was the first time she started snooping around Ridge. It's like they just come up with these lazy memories to, you know, but I, you know, I don't want to be in a bashing session because I actually enjoyed B&B this week because I've come to not.
Katie and Bill were hot.
I was gonna say. Meanwhile, back in L.A.
Yeah, I didn't mind Big Bear, the Big Bear stuff. I thought James was funny. They done made James go to drinking. He's like, I done healed Sheila Carter once, and I can't heal you hoes. But you know.
What did you think of Bill and Katie?
I like Bill and Katie. I like them a lot. I like them a lot. They're smoldering.
Yes.
Love it. I love Bill and Katie. I did not like Whip and Jackie. I'm going to be honest. That kiss was just not there. Like, first of all, Rick Hurst missed her mouth the first time. And, like, kissed her all up in her cheek like he was kissing Mama. Mama just gave him a Werther's Originals. I mean, you know, he just missed her mouth. He just flat out missed her damn mouth. And then, you know, the next time, I'm like, y'all should have yelled cut and cut that again. I mean, he kissed the side of her face or something. It was just, and it wasn't a kiss on the cheek. It was just not, it was not choreographed right for that to be a first kiss. It was sloppy and I'm not gonna, I'm being gross here, but I saw spit.
You sound like a little boy who's like
cooties.
Yeah, cooties.
I saw a spit train for both of their mouths.
Look,
y'all always pay attention to seed. I pay attention to smooching.
You said spit train.
That was a gross first kiss. I'm sorry.
Well,
dude.
And then, the fact that we find out that Owen has a twin.
Oh, my God. Cheesy.
I like Brandon Beamer a lot. We'll see how he does in due roles. Some people can pull it off. Some people can't.
Well, it's only a three-day stint.
I'm not saying that he was cheesy in it. I just thought the whole concept of him... That's what's going to drive Jackie to creep out.
It's plot driven. It's completely plot driven. You know? But it's like I am suspending my belief with as long as I can look at B&B for 5 days and it come away saying I enjoyed it, I'm not going to beat them over the head too much. And I still enjoyed it this week.
While we're on the topic of B&B, this will give a chance for Mel to pop in.
B&B has always been camptastic. Always.
Oh, Lord.
Since the very first episode, if you go back and look at it, they've always had that campy thing.
We didn't have that opera singing fool on.
Exactly. That's why I'm like, count your blessings, because it could be Ridge. I want you to stay away from my mother.
Stuffy.
I want to bring up another B&B topic that will allow Mel to talk, since you didn't get it, or you don't watch B&B, but it was announced this last week that Leslie Kay is going to be pulling double duty. Are you excited for her return to As the World Turns?
Yes. I love Leslie Kay as an actress, period. Anytime I can see her on my screen, because I know she doesn't get used enough on Bold and the Beautiful, so for her to come back on As the World Turns, it's great. So there you go.
Jamie, do you think that this will be a detriment to B&B that she's spending time on another show, or is it a matter of since we don't see her hardly ever now, it might as well be at As the World Turns too?
No, I don't think it'll be a detriment. She's gonna pull double duty. And the last time I saw them use Felicia, didn't she just take that girl's cell phone away from her?
Yes.
Slap her. Yes. It's not like I think they could have Pam do that if they're in a pinch. You know, it's like they're not using this. This is one of the best actresses to come out of daytime in the past decade. And I'm sorry, she's not ready to be the Jackie Zeman of this show, showing up to fuss at her nieces and nephews. And I mean, I'm glad that she's so sexy and vivacious and interesting. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad. I hope that the thing of it is, it's like,
I don't want her with
Dusty.
I
look at my Katie McClain on there in those
looking homely,
frumpy duppy clothes, and you know, I just don't know. And as Walt Turns is about to go off the air, so it's not.
Yeah, it's not like she's gonna fail.
You might as well enjoy it while it lasts. I mean, Soap Opera Weekly is so funny. Now, Soap Opera Weekly ran this. If we'd have ran this, it'd have been 15,000. Oh my God, you guys are so, you don't want that. But Soap Opera Weekly said they hear that the show is going to be canceled by December. I firmly believe that. It will be the no. I don't think they'll cancel it in December. But, it, you know,
it'll be off.
As the World Turns will be off by January or next May at the latest. And you know, again, I'm gonna wait and see how this goes. I mean, I don't. It's gotten a little bit better, but I just don't believe they're in save show mode. I really don't. You know, I just don't. You know, I mean,
the casting though is up the wazoo. I mean, they're bringing people back.
Yeah,
they're bringing two people.
Molly is the first person they brought back. That, and I'm gonna even be real about this. Yes, Molly is popular for As the World Turns, but you know, they need to be looking at, you know,
John Dixon.
Yes, John Dixon. And yes, and no, this is not even, I hate to even piggyback this on, because I'm very happy that Molly is coming back. I loved Molly, but after they killed off Jake, they just had Molly floating. So I'm nervous, not because I'm happy she's going back, but this show has a history of, you know, they brought back the original Craig that everybody liked. I didn't like him. I liked Tom Block. But I didn't watch him when he was on there back in the day. So, I mean, this show has a history of bringing people back and it being a bust. So I can't say that I'm just like, you know, oh, God.
Look at this stand back reveal crap. I mean,
exactly. I mean, they just brought back Anthony Herrera to roll him around in a wheelchair. And
rolling. But rolling. Like,
with
that's
Lucy Coe. You know, Lucy Coe rolling him through.
Rolling, you know, down Oakdale.
It's just not, you know, I'm not, I don't know.
Mel, what were you saying?
I was like the whole Stenbeck thing, it's kind of a joke now. Because they just keep bringing him back over and over and over again. To the point
he's
where
the
you're
Helena
like.
He's the Helena Oakdale. He's the Helena Castaneda.
To the point where you're
but
like, oh,
even
Stenbeck.
Not, you know what? He's not even Helena or Stefano. You know why? Because every time Stefano would come back, there would be this pageantry to it. They'd play
this big build-up.
They'd play that music, and you'd see the chess pieces. I am back. I mean, James Stenbeck is back. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you roll your eyes. You're just like, oh, God, he's back again. Why? Can't somebody just kill him? Like, it's different.
And they've made him a eunuch. I mean, he has no power. You know, at least when Helena came back last time, Helena shut down the damn TVs. You know, she shut it down. You know, Helena was like, I'm back, and I'm finna tear some shit up. You know, but it's like, oh, Stenbeck is back. He's in a wheelchair.
You know,
it's rolling him around. It's like, is he a
I don't believe he's gonna die. I don't. He's like, oh, he's dying. Yeah,
he's
right.
Like a New York.
Well,
cockroach.
But Holden's dead. He can't die when Holden's dead.
Holden.
There's
the guy
that they should have killed was Meg.
Oh, heaven help us guess.
God, know that. What is that?
Who was it
book?
That put it on the blog? Someone needs to do a "Who Killed Meg" storyline. It gets so.
I read a book in high school English. I can't remember what it was called, but it had this woman walking out into the water and drowning herself. And that's what the Meg needs to just walk
that's
out into
that,
that or else Dusty's mob associates need to put some cement blocks on her feet.
She needs to just walk out there to Snyder Pond and just
that sounds like A Star Is Born, that Barbra Streisand.
No, this was like a classic. It was like some big.
Yeah, it's an old American novel. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like, I can't remember. I was probably reading Jackie Collins at the same time.
Threw that book
in the closet. But yeah.
In other As the World Turns news, Austin Peck has been fired, and the character of Brad's going to be killed off. Going around the circle, what do you guys think? Are you going to miss the character of Brad, Mel?
Yeah. Brad grew on me a while, and I always liked him and Katie, and I like the dynamic between Brad, Katie, Henry, and Vienna. I think
Henry,
you gotta put a V in it with that girl name is Ua, because she
Vienna
can't say R's.
Sausage.
Yeah, she can't say R's. They sound like V's, so it's funny. Anywho, I don't know. I'm going to miss Brad. I just want to see what his sudden departure is going to do to the campus. Like, how are they going to handle that?
In a week, they'll all be planning for
it. I forgot to ask about turns.
Well, and Katie's going to lose yet another man.
And she's pregnant for him.
She's probably going to lose that baby.
So, Jillian, what do you think? Is it going to be a loss to the show?
No, not really. He was just like a... He was just there. He just happened to have the last name Snyder. So his character just happened to have the last name Snyder. Here's hoping Day scoops his ass up. That's all I'm worried about. I hope Day scoops him up.
I think it's going to be a big loss to Ezra and Terrence. They've been one of the most popular couples in the last couple of years. And they were a big hit with fans. So I mean,
and Austin Peck learned how to act.
Well, it was me who said, I don't care. So...
And he's got
cosplay.
No, I'm saying I'll take the cut. No, I'm saying.
No, I'm just saying. I do think that I think it is going to be because Katie, you know, since Simon, she kind of floated. She and Mike sucked. Oh. You know, she and Henry were ridiculous. It was like Grace married Will, you know, and so it's like.
Well, maybe her and Jack will have a connection.
Liked her and Jack for a minute, but it was like only because I liked her and Carly going head to head.
See, that was the reason I was thinking.
I just hope she doesn't get hooked up with Paul or Dusty.
That's the thing I was thinking about.
Men that are already in town. I mean, Chris Hughes was Katie's first big crush. If they finally ever dreamed about casting a decent Chris Hughes and brought him to town to help her mourn. Or Simon. That would be my two options.
Oh, yeah. Simon usher her off the canvas.
Cast Chad Brennan. Chad Brennan, who used to play, what was his name?
Xander
on GH. It's Chris Hughes. I would love that. He come to town. Dr. Chris Hughes helped Katie get over, or bring back Simon. I mean, that's
usher
about.
And don't recast that role.
I mean, please, Luke, Simon can be recast, but, I would ask him back, but, I mean, if not, there's, you know, Cyrus, the boy that played Cyrus. Murray Bartlett could play Cyrus.
I come all of a sudden, Mel is having
the James E. Riley School. I'd recast you, Luke. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm well aware of that.
get Murray Bartlett, make him Simon, you know? Boom. There you go.
So, do you think now that he's drastically improved his acting abilities that going back to Days would be something worth?
Well, hell, he became a superstar on Days without acting. They didn't need
I
to
know.
Care about that.
But now that he can act, do you think it might be something where it might either be better or worse for the
I do not want Sammy Brady to become the Cricket Blair of Salem. She already has three men sweating that, what'd you call it?
Badusi! Yes.
They bring Carey back with him. And I'm sorry, I want Patrick Muldoon back as Austin. I just interviewed him recently, so I can't be like, oh. Yeah, I wouldn't mind. I mean, I wouldn't mind Patrick, but... not Patrick. I wouldn't mind Austin, but... I just think he'd walk back on that Burbank set, and he would regress 10 years.
Sammy, dude.
I know my name. Because, I mean, that boy was original, didn't know where he was. And I just don't want – that would be a step backwards for him, you know. And he needed to just concentrate on acting, you know.
Well, maybe General Hospital could cast him as that one character that everybody wants to come back. Who's that doctor that's – crap.
Here he go again.
The guy who came back was curly-headed and played like CSI for a while.
Stephen Mars Weber. No,
yeah.
I didn't want Stephen
back no way. So.
I don't think Stephen worked without Robin Mattson there to play his mother. And without, you know, I mean, I don't like GH's whole bring back siblings without any parents to anchor them. But no, I don't know what he'll do. I mean, I don't know what he'll do. Days really doesn't need him. Christy Clark is not there. Sammy has three men to deal with.
3 million men.
I got a list of people I'd rather see come back to Days before Austin Peck. Matthew Ashford and Missy Reeves at the top of it. I know people probably be like, oh, Deirdre and Drake, nope. Matt and Missy, bring back my Jack and Jennifer, and I will I will call King Corday the king of Siam. I mean, you know, the last time they ruined Austin Carey, Sammy, and Lucas for me with that flip-flopping baseball Mick Jagger mess. Sammy trying to make Carey think she had cootie cancer and just, no. All shades of stupid. So, Days only gets one chance to, like, bring back a popular couple.
The only good thing out of that was when Carey clocked the shit out of Sammy. She always could throw a nice right hook on Sammy.
And I love Christy Clark. I mean, I do. But I would bring Carey back and make her fall in love with Rafe. And, you know, that's what I would do with that. I mean, Austin just got on my nerves. Austin was so dumb. I mean, he was the original boy rape victim. I mean, he was just so dumb.
He wasn't even slow. He just stopped.
Sammy ran game on him for 10 years straight. Yes. You know, it was just ridiculous. Everybody knew Austin was dumb, but Austin. And it was like, no.
Well, speaking of dumb, can I just bring up two things before we move on? First of all, Bo is a psychic, and seeing his daughter kidnapped, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but this storyline, I'm watching it, and it's so preposterous. It is so preposterous.
It's been preposterous since day one.
I know.
Bo as a psychic is stupid.
That is
if he was a psychic, why didn't he know Doug was finna come in there when he was taking Hope's virginity and have a heart attack? If he was psychic, how did he know Ernesto Toscano was going to kidnap Hope and put her on
that. If he was psychic, why didn't he prevent his child getting run over by his daughter?
Why didn't he know that Hope was alive? Why didn't he know that Carly was up under the ground? Talk about help, help. I'm sorry. I do not buy Bo Brady as a freaking psychic. It's stupid.
It detracts from his trying to be a police detective when all of a sudden he's having psychic flashes and is dictating. I mean, this is not.
I don't like men psychics on soaps. I'm sorry. Women should be psychics. I'm being sexist.
Yeah, I believe
that women should be the psychics. I like the women psychics. I like Frankie Frame because it's just stupid. Men don't have sixth sense. Men don't even know to go get to put the toilet seat down. How does he have a six? No, it's just stupid. I've never liked any men psychics on soaps. I didn't like him. I didn't like, who was that other one? Paul and that other little boy, Carly's little boy. He's supposed to be psychic sometimes. You know, didn't tell him.
And Madame Delfino is both a man and a woman.
I love her.
I do too.
They need to bring Celeste back so she can.
See, that's the thing.
I didn't like Celeste. Why is Celeste doing this? I'm
gonna
be honest, and you know, call me angry black man. I did not like Celeste's characterization. I did not like that. It just, you know, the scared little black woman running around, danger. The cops that told me danger, darling. I did not like that. I'm sorry. I was like, stop acting like that, you know, like you on a plantation or something. You know, that's where we found her on Maison Blanche. And that's just always terrified. I didn't like that. I know white people probably be like, why do black people get mad about certain things? I know Luke will be like, I don't get it, but that is a stereotype.
You have listeners, you have no idea how some shots afterwards
woman running around with her, who the devil? It's the devil.
With a do-rag on.
If I was Lexi, I would say, Mama, shut up with that.
I wish someone would come to me and say, can you tell me what my future is? Yes, I see. I see your future. Foot dead up your ass. Yes, I see it.
You believe in the stars? Yeah, you finna see stars.
Okay.
Well,
I didn't like all that. It's danger, darling. Oh, darling. Oh. No. Need to list all that. Unless you're going to get a romance and some money. I want her walking around with them tarot cards looking stupid.
Okay.
Daytime. I don't care. I just don't want to see that. I want to see a black woman running a corporation. That's what I want to see. Or, you know, sleeping with somebody's husband or something soapy. Okay. I don't want to see her running around with the terrible.
Okay.
I don't want to see Lexi stroking Hope's hair and telling her everything is going to be all right. I want her to have a storyline just like the white women in town and not just being there to pet.
Well, speaking
of all right, Miss Ashley, we go, you know, I'm like, is, you know, Olivia is, everybody's like, oh, Olivia's gone. Well, Ashley don't have a wet nurse anymore. Big deal.
Speaking of white women with storylines, Melanie and Philip slept together.
I love you, Luke. Oh, shit. Now, see, I got a nasty taste in my mouth.
Now, she needs a black woman to talk some sense into her. That little girl.
But like a Thunderdome, bitch.
Why? Like, just why? Watching it, and, I mean, afterwards, it just is wrong. I mean, yes, Molly Burnett as an actress has improved, but Melanie as a character is just...
J. Kenneth Johnson ain't in any danger of winning a Golden Globe himself.
Oh, no, that's the thing. It just gets... It's just compounded. And then you throw in the Stephanie character, and it's like... When they try and do angst, the three of them in a scene together, it just doesn't work.
Well, they've got it's a storyline full of lightweights. I mean, you know, it's just, yeah, it's just not the days of Jack, Jennifer, and Eve. That's for sure.
Oh, no. Well, Mel, Natalia returned to Springfield.
Okay.
Any thoughts?
Oh, what I say to Natalia fans gonna come after me. Okay. When Olivia and Natalia finally actually got a chance to talk to each other, that scene was awesome. Crystal Chappelle rocked it like only she can. But this story is stupid. Yeah, I said it. Y'all should have made Jessica Lecce's character pregnant while she actually was pregnant, because that would have made sense. She just spent 9 months with that big old belly, and now she got to come back and do it again. Now,
for what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, but here's the other thing. The show is about to be canceled. It's about to be over. No more light ever. And the biggest super couple that y'all have had in years, and y'all want to throw this at them? Why can't you just let them be happy? Why can't Crystal Chappelle throw... Jessica Lecce against the wall. I just give it to her. Like, I just
why
don't
she
understand.
Gotta throw her against the wall? Why that girl can't?
Oh,
throw her?
Let's be real.
Let's be real.
Let's be real. If it comes down to it, Olivia's the one strapping something on.
I didn't say that. That was Luke.
I tried to defend it, y'all. It care of Luke Kerr. Y'all said it.
It just
down.
Doesn't make any sense to
well,
have
I co-signed Luke on that because that's what I look.
It didn't make
thank
any
you
sense
for not throwing
Cornette
me under the
pregnant.
Bus, Jamie.
I'm giving you a cyber high five, Luke. Yeah, maybe I'm, you know, reading it wrong, but Olivia does seem to be the one running things.
Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make any sense for, like, I understand y'all needed to wait a way to get her out of town, but you didn't have to go and make her pregnant with Frank's baby when she slept with Frank way back when Coop died. It's just like being lazy and dumb. It doesn't make any sense. Like
flats on a Cadillac.
Well, and what did you think of her conversation with Frank?
Natalia and Frank?
Mm-hmm.
Frank and his old, oh, well, you're pregnant. Oh, it's mine. Okay, well, I guess we could get married and let me go tell my family, blah, 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 boring.
No,
boring,
it's
boring.
Olivia's baby, you moron.
Dude. Like, it's just... It's all bad, bad, bad.
I will look. I ain't gonna blame Frank for that, because I would have asked whose it was. Too shit. She's sleeping with the woman. She, well, nah, she ain't doing that.
No, she ain't
sleeping with him. But you know, I'd asked her too. I would have been like, "You sure it's mine?" Because you know, you got some issues with trying to figure out what you like. So,
I figured that they were heading down the immaculate conception path.
It might have been buzzes. You don't know, now. Yeah, you know, I know. I feel bad for the Natalia fans, and I'm one of them. I'm a Natalia fan, but this is just going to be another bam Lena and Bianca, gay, and I'm, you know, at least they got to kiss a little bit, but it's just
well,
gonna
Lena
be
Lena and Bianca also had sex scenes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but they're in true. Can. That's what I was gonna say. It's gonna be, but another aborted. They're just not gonna do anything, and then they give all these bullshit answers. You know, a lot of fans emailed us. We didn't post anything on the blog because I am, you know, contrary to popular belief, I'm a journalist, and so I was not at the Bailey Center. And so I'm not going to run anything in print about, you know, rumors that were, or you know, but allegedly, Jill told a fan when asked, you know, would they see anything with, you know, any type of intimacy, she basically said, and I'm paraphrasing, well, these two women, you know, you have to understand this is their first same-sex relationship and they're still working things out, blah, blah. BS bullshit. I'm not blaming Jill for this because I'm sure the network or PNG has basically said y'all can't do it. So she had to, you know, I'm not going to throw Jill under the bus for that, you know.
Ellen.
I'm not even going to throw Ellen. I mean, I believe somebody above them is like, no, you can't do it. Because what would be the point? I mean, you're going to, you know, someone is saying, I mean, and that came out too, that the idea was Ellen's. You know, Ellen came up with the storyline during the writer's strike.
Shut so, your you know, face. Are you serious?
Yeah.
No, it was her. No. Ellen came up with Otalia.
Oh, I got to give you a high five, Ellen. What?
Well, now the skeptic in me says, I wonder is that really, you know, I hate to say it, but the skeptic in me is like, is this a situation where, you know, I'm going to be real, where Jill is like, let me go on and try to help this girl because everybody's ready to scalp her. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Jill said it. She said that Ellen came up with the idea during the writer's strike. Ellen said that there was no romance on the show and she decided it needed to be some romance. Wow, what a concept. Romance on a soap opera. But, you know, I don't cut Ellen any slack. I don't cut into this show any slack. I mean, they had time to do better. You know, they didn't have to. Yes, they had to go. And, you know, she talked about how they go into this new production model, save the show for a year and a half. Fine. We've said it 1,000 times. You didn't have to, you know, the production model had nothing to do with the bad storytelling. And it's still happening. You know, and she, and that was part of her vision. I want to see people doing real life things. Newsflash, people don't tune into soaps for that. I don't tune into soaps to watch Reva's sink
talk to pitches.
Not work. And I don't tune into soaps to see her need Josh to come try to jimmy her car door open. I don't tune into soaps for that. I tune into soaps for an hour of fantasy to get out of my real life. Reality.
I see Reva sweating it up with Josh and then Jeffrey coming home and she's like, oh, hide under the bed or something.
Yeah, there's none of that. There's nothing soapy. You know, and then they tried to, you know, that whole shootout in P-Pack.
Oh, fuck.
Oh.
Get away. Shootout.
I thought about putting the shootout at the P-Pack Corral.
No,
I will say Edmund was hood with his with that recording. Mel, your boy Edmund, I love that recording. Him. That recording was straight villain. That was
straight
villain. He came back for the last gasps of Guiding Light.
What recording did he say? What
he basically was telling Jeffrey, hello, Jeffrey. I know you're alive and... Oh, that was kind of Australian. I'm not gonna try to do him. he was basically he said that he will leave those babies alone as long as Jeffrey stays dead and makes Reva hurt because he hates Reva and Reva has taken so much from him. And that if he ever comes back, he's gonna kidnap Colin and Sarah and Henry and raise them as his own. And it was just like
he ended it. He goes, TTFN.
Oh, shit.
TTFN?
Yes.
Ta-ta for now. Didn't you watch Winnie the Pooh?
No.
Oh. I'm not surprised.
Mel, earlier you mentioned wanting Marie Bartlett to do something to you, but he did something to Mel this last week.
Mel had her whole plan. She was with Natalia, and she was trying to bake some cookies for a little bit of Nookie. And she almost got some, but then they broke the bed. Now, when you break the bed, you just say, fuck it, and just keep going. That's what I would do if, you know, Murray Bartlett, but that's not the point. I thought the whole Cyrus and Bell thing, I mean, I think they have chemistry. Of course, he has chemistry with everybody. And they're hot, but I just felt like something was missing from it. Like, I don't know.
Like Marina.
Maybe that was it. Maybe if we just replace Mel with Marina, you know, I could get behind that. I could.
Mel said she'd need her back broke. Mel, oh God, light.
Oh, all right.
Mel, not too many healthy discussed here. You know,
she said she tired of Rick making them lame jokes. She was.
I can't be mad at her because if
she
want
to see what made Harley go crazy.
That's the thing. You ever notice Cyrus must have that extra good? Because every woman that sleep with him lose their damn mind. Marina was going to leave her whole family. Harley forgot she had kids. She did. They were like, Harley, where's Zach? She'd be like, Zach? Who? I don't even know who that is.
Who are these kids?
And Cassie was like.
But with that oldest one, you could see why she'd want to forget her.
Oh. And Cassie was like, oh, yeah, Tammy, yeah, she had died. But it's okay. Cyrus, where you at? Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, she was like, finally, I can stop grieving.
Cyrus, come here. This is ridiculous. I can't be mad at Mel for jumping Cyrus's bones, though, because if I had the chance, y'all know I'd do it, too. So,
final thoughts. Jillian.
My final thought is send that chopper or that Learjet to go get Drew, because you need it. Them ratings need a boost, boo-boo. Sorry, Miss Bell and Mr. Sheffer, but it's not happening. Y'all need a ratings boost. I'm not into the artsy-fartsy storyline. I'm tired of Ashley screaming when everything goes bump in the night. I'm not liking it. I'm not having it.
Jamie?
My final thought is also to Miss Bell, and it is whenever the I used to love field trips in school. Whenever we'd be going to Six Flags or Pizza Hut or, you know, whatever, I was right there with my permission slip. But when they sent home anything about going to a museum, I forgot. I said, oh, I forgot to give it to my grandma today. I don't look at soaps for art. If I wanted to watch art, I'd look at a PBS documentary. Stop.
Chapter.
Enough.
Chapter.
Mel?
Oh, final thought, final thought. I think Cyrus should be naked more. Okay.
And take Jamie up on his suggestion of going over to As the World Turns as
yes,
Simon?
With shirtless. Yes, he should go.
My final thought is, Jamie, I think you were the one who discussed when we were discussing this off the podcast, so I'll give you credit for it. But who killed Meg? That storyline alone would bring in a million viewers.
Shit, we killed Meg. Fuck. I don't want to go to Oakdale. Oakdale don't look too nice this time of year. I don't like Oakdale.
Ooh, it don't. I was looking at those outdoor scenes with Parker and Liberty and that other little boy. And then I looked at those glorious outdoor scenes on One Life to Live. And I'm just like,
I don't want to go there. Mm-mm.
Say what you will about ABC, but even when they have to do something cheaper, they do it. And don't let you know it. It don't look cheap and thrown together and just ugly.
On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at podcast@daytimeconfidential.com. Hit us up on Twitter at twitter.com/DCConfidential. Comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Click on podcast in the menu and then the episode number that corresponds with the one on your iPod or your computer. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye.
Y'all listen again now. You hear?